Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Oh, you're not going to like this one. Welcome back to another episode of the Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Cooper, and as always, oh, I said it wrong. Do it again.
What?
I said as always, and where are they gonna go from there? And as always, joins me be
all right,
ready. Welcome back to another episode of the Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Cooper, and joining me as always is
Super Possible Cooper.
You're right, it wasn't the worst one, but I don't understand it.
I
and it doesn't make any sense.
Couldn't do anything else. You didn't give me enough time.
I give you 2 straight minutes.
You give me 2 minutes to look up IMDb, not 2 minutes to do that.
No, most of that was you trying to think of
it. No, it was not.
And your names are always bad. Why do you need extra time? I could give you an hour, and you probably would not come up with anything better.
Not true.
So, yes, we're going to be discussing the latest Mission Impossible movie.
Dead Reckoning.
Eloquently titled Mission Impossible, : Dead Reckoning - Part one. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right? Is it a dash part one or is it another colon?
Let me just check for you. It is Mission Impossible - Dead Reckoning Part One.
Okay.
So, you're wrong completely.
It sounds like the name of a crappy video game that you get in one of those old junk bins.
Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning.
No, I'm gonna actually cross my legs. I'm always crossing my legs when I do this shit, this podcast. Oh, I feel so much more podcastier.
Yeah, so do I. You're right. This is the strat. This is the play.
So, Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning is, what can we say? A Mission Impossible movie.
True.
This is part one of what they're saying is going to be the end of this long-running series. This, I'm going to just say it up top, that this is one of my favorite series ever.
Of all time.
And it's one of those series that I have been watching since I was, I don't know, 10 or 11. I saw the first Mission Impossible on a bus in Peru. You know how airplanes have, like, TVs?
Yes.
And they show movies on them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, buses did that too.
Cool.
And I would never have been allowed to watch this movie. My parents were very strict. I wasn't allowed to watch anything. But it was on the bus. What are they going to do? They kept telling us, close your eyes, cover your head. We didn't do it. We pretended like we did, but we were secretly watching. Mission Impossible 1, again, I was young. I was probably 12, 13. But I was very sheltered. I hadn't seen anything. It was the most suspenseful, scary movie I had ever seen because I was so suspensed up.
Wow.
And I was so confused by what was going. I can't even express to you what watching that movie was like. It was amazing. And since then, just kept watching them. And for a franchise that's been running this long, it's crazy that the movies just keep getting better and better. Now, they've kind of plateaued at close to perfection. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Once you can't go up any higher than that.
Yes.
But you know, Mission Impossible 1, I love. Mission Impossible 2, I think, is a horrendous movie.
Okay.
And I love every single one of them after that, increasingly more and more.
The first one I saw was the one when they're climbing the building. Tom Cruise climbs the building with his sucker gloves.
Right.
The tallest building in the world.
That's the one with Jeremy Renner. Or is he in a bunch of them?
I don't know.
I don't know anymore. I can't remember which one that was.
Fourth one.
The fourth one? Do you remember what it's called? Was it Ghost Protocol?
I actually don't know if it was the fourth one. I just made up a number, but that sounds like it sounds right to me.
Yeah, I think it is. Because the first movie, we'll play a really fun game. The first movie I saw on that bus in Peru. The second movie, we still lived in Peru, and I saw it, someone rented it, and I lived in Cusco, and I hated its guts. And the third movie, I was living in Hawaii, and I saw it, and you were but a wee tiny fetus.
Awesome.
So we called you the wee fetus.
Okay. The wee fetus?
The wee fetus.
Is that like a video game for Nintendo?
What?
A wee fetus.
What? What's that even mean?
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
I don't even get it.
A wee. Like a Wii.
Oh, like the Nintendo Wii.
Yes.
That was bad.
I thought it was funny.
That was really bad.
I thought it was really funny.
But yes, you were not yet walking about, but you were growing. But I saw it with my whole family in Hawaii at the big giant theater in downtown Honolulu. And I loved that movie. J.J. Abrams directed that one.
Mm-hmm. Fourth movie?
The third movie.
What's the fourth movie?
I can't remember what it's called.
What's it about? Where did you see it? Where did you see it?
I saw it with you. That's the one. That's
exactly.
The first one that you saw.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I thought. I'm a genius.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been watching these movies my whole life. Nice. And I love them. So I'm just going to say that.
Oh, so have I. I've also been watching them my whole life. I just haven't watched all of them my whole life.
Yeah. So what do you think you would consider yourself, more of a James Bond person or
no.
more of a Mission Impossible
Mission
person?
Impossible.
Really?
I don't really know anything about James Bond.
We went on that whole James Bond spree. We
what?
Watched all those James Bond movies.
When?
We watched two James Bond movies once.
Awesome. No, I mean, I like the idea of James Bond, but I've never been a huge James Bond guy.
Too bad.
Yeah, no, I know you love him.
We should go back and watch the movies.
Yeah, I like their title sequences.
Yeah, those are all cool.
Those are always good.
So anyway, back to Mission Impossible then.
Yeah.
This is the upsetting thing. Yes. I keep asking you questions as if you are in school, which is bothersome to me. Because when I'm talking about my history of Mission Impossible, you should just naturally chime in and say, yeah, I remember when I saw my first one when I was like 8 years old, and this happened, and then I saw blah, 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 blah.
I already did that.
No, you didn't. You said the first James Bond movie I saw is the one with the suckers on the mountain.
I didn't say that. For one, I didn't say James Bond. For two, I didn't say mountain. And three, I didn't say suckers. I said the plungy things.
Whatever. That's all you said. That's your whole history.
But I said I've been watching it my whole life. So that was the first movie. And then the second movie I watched when I was 10. And then the second movie I watched when I was 14.
Is the one with the suckers on the building where they had that big fight scene inside that parking garage where all the cars were like going up and down?
No.
That's the next one?
I thought that was the one before that.
No, that would be three, so no. How could it be the one before that when you've seen it?
I have seen the other one. I have seen the one with the garage scene.
Yeah, so how would you say it's the one before that, one you haven't seen?
I have seen it.
You haven't seen three?
I haven't?
No.
Well, I thought I had because
I said you were a wee fetus.
That doesn't mean I haven't seen it when I'm older.
You can't see through the belly button. That's not how it works.
Well, I can't only watch movies when they come out.
Yeah, but you don't very often go back.
Well, I remember watching one of the movies on like Amazon or something, and it was at a car garage.
We should probably talk about this Mission Impossible movie since you can't remember any of the Mission Impossible movies that you've seen.
I do.
But actually,
I don't. I only remember that.
This movie does something that's very popular right now, and I typically hate.
What's the one where they go underwater in that underwater turbine?
I don't know which ones. They all blend together.
Do you remember that one, though?
Yes, but why are we doing this again? We just tried to do this. We can't just name a stunt and then try and think of what movie it belongs to.
Dude, that actually sounds like such a fun like trivia game.
I know that the last one is the one that had Henry Cavill
Ice.
Like cocking his arms and beating each other up in the bathroom.
That was the last movie?
Yes.
That's awesome. I remember that.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I think that would be a fun trivia game. Like, you name a stunt, and then you have to, like, guess which movie it was from.
I mean, it wouldn't be a very long trivia game. You could only play it, like, three times.
Well,
there's
a bunch of stunts in all the movies.
So. Yeah, you play it, like, three times.
All right, go. What are you going to say?
I don't even remember what I was saying now.
Well,
I was going to say, this movie is doing something that I really normally hate as a common trend right now, which is where they split a movie in two.
Yes.
And they make us wait
well.
A year. But.
Yeah, you said they deserve it the other day. Like, whenever I was, like, talking to the guy at the counter, he He's like, what movie are y'all going to see? I was like, Mission Impossible. And I was, he was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, I'm just upset it's a part one. He's like, well, I think they deserve a part one, a two-parter.
Who said that?
You did.
Well, you said, and he said.
Yeah, he said, as in you said. He as in he.
Yes, so I do think it deserves it because this movie, this franchise has gone up in quality. And Tom Cruise clearly pours his own lifeblood into these movies, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to do a two-parter because the studio won't agree that they can make a four-hour-long action movie, fine by me. But like I said, it's a trend that I don't love. But I normally, when it happens, it's been done poorly.
Like Spider-Man.
No, like when they split a Harry Potter book in two because they're like, oh no, the goose that laid the golden eggs is about to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make one extra bit of money.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Bad.
Even though I thought Harry Potter did a pretty good job with it.
But this movie, it did a great job of it seemed like it told a full story. Like they, yes. It's funny because they basically said what the part one is. They were like, finding the key is only the first part of the mission. And wink, wink. And yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And that's what they did. They just find one part of the, they just find the key or whatever. They find their, what is it?
Full spoiler podcast. We should probably always make sure that's put into the show notes.
It is.
It is? Okay.
I think so.
Even though we didn't spoil anything about Barbie.
She did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, you're right. We did.
Okay, keep going.
What were you talking?
I know. I just said my idea. Well, I didn't know what else to, I don't know what to call it. But yeah, that's what they did. They finished their part one of the mission.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to say is that when you do a two-part movie, but you know that you're going to make it into two parts, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You can structure it in such a way that it feels like a whole thing.
Yeah, it feels like they told me a full story of one movie.
Right, and I felt like Into the Spider-Verse did that too, except for they introduced the next movie at the end of the other movie, which kind of was a little bit rude of them.
They did the meanest thing I think I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
Oh, I'm so glad that we have these things in these couches now because I can use them to hit you whenever you make me mad. And no one can get mad at me. That's just like having a little pillow fight.
No, not if you whack me across the face.
But yes, I thought this movie told a complete story. Is it Hayley Atwell? She like the new. Well, they're not Bond girls, but we don't call them Hunt girls. So,
I'm
pretty sure it's Hayley Atwell.
I had to scroll up. So
but the thing is, I kept getting her confused.
Yes,
yeah, Hayley Atwell. So she played Peggy
Grace.
Carter.
What? Oh, okay. I was about to freak out.
Yes, in this movie she plays a thief called Grace, but she also played Peggy Carter. And,
yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, she had her own show that I loved, and it got canceled because of the patriarchy. Couldn't handle a
female-led
show.
Did you look at the
show.
Camera?
Yes.
He looked at the camera like it's
we
all their
fault.
We know
that the primary listeners of movie podcasts are men.
True.
We're trying to skew our demographic away from them.
Yep.
So this is not the Barbie podcast anymore.
You need to calm down.
Yeah. But I'm wearing my Barbie shoes.
Oh my gosh. Say one more off-topic thing.
Hayley Atwell, she played Peggy Carter in the Avengers movies, or not the Avengers movie, I guess Captain America, and then she had her own show. She's fantastic, absolutely fantastic as Grace, who's like a master thief.
Yep. She's awesome. Grand larceny.
Yes. She is. Smart, she kicks a lot of ass, and this is something that's going to sound like a cliche thing that you shouldn't say about female characters, but I'm going to say it because it is true. Rock some of the best outfits I've seen in a movie this entire year. Come on, she's
including Barbie.
She's rocking some dope outfits.
Oh, I know, she's got style.
Yes, I was a huge fan. And then
maybe
Rebecca,
a little bit too much of a fan.
I know. How can you be too much of a fan?
Oh, the sounds that you made while I was in the movie theater, I felt so uncomfortable.
Stop copying me.
Yeah, exactly. Is it fun? Do you like it?
But when you said it is not true, what I said was true.
It was not true. I was not staring at Anya Taylor-Joy during the Viking movie.
Yes, you were.
I was just going...
You were making sounds.
No, I was not. I did not make any sounds.
You were like, oh.
I did not.
Oh.
You were like being like, That outfit goes crazy, if you know what I mean.
What?
You never said that.
Anyway, we're about time for a break. We have about a minute. So what do you want to say in 1 minute?
What?
About the cast. Quick question. Look,
the cast is so cool. You have your old characters, you have your new characters, you have legacy characters. We love legacy characters.
Like who?
Oh, like I have their names. Luther, he's awesome. I love him. And my favorite, Benji, Simon Pegg, is like one of my favorite characters in all of Mission Impossible.
You had to look it up to see what their names
were? Yes, I completely forgot.
Luther has been in every single movie.
I know, but you rushed to me. It's just me.
Simon Pegg has been in them for quite a while.
I know. I love Simon Pegg. He's like my favorite person.
In this?
Well, in the world.
In the world?
Like, he's one of my favorite people in the world.
Well, we didn't even get into the plot. We didn't even do the plot synopsis. We'll have to do the plot synopsis in the back half.
Whoa, that's crazy. We'll see you in a second.
No, we weren't done yet. We still have 15 seconds.
You said we had a... No.
Yeah, we still have 15 seconds. Now we have to just waste it.
We don't have to waste it. We actually won't see you later. We'll see you right now.
We'll see you right now. So anyway, this movie has a kind of crazy plot that involves AI.
Yeah.
You know, it's very trendy right now. Oh, time for a break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back to the Kids Sizzling the Podcast and our discussion of Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1.
Good job. I was hoping you were going to do that.
Hoping?
So, this Mission Impossible movie is an absolute blast front to back. It's close to 3 hours long, and I did not feel it at all.
Neither.
And we had to watch part of the... Oh, we didn't have to watch that much of it again because I timed it so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot I'm a genius. I should be invited to the Mission Impossible team.
Because, okay.
The name of the team is Mission Impossible?
No.
What is it called again?
It's like the Impossible Task Force or something.
It's a very silly name that very much sounds like it came from a 1970s or 60s TV show, which mm-hmm. it did.
It did?
Yeah, that's how it started.
Is it from a TV show?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I told this entire story the other day about how Desilu Productions made two shows that ended up bankrupting them because they were so expensive. But they're the two things that, like, Paramount is known for now. And that is Star Trek and Mission Impossible. And those are the only two things that are still going. Probably not the only two things, but I bet they might be. Maybe they are. I should just say things like they're facts. Who's going to know? Anyway, this movie is, as you would expect from a modern Mission Impossible movie, jam-packed with cool action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I thought was really fun about it is it gets really heavily backed to spycraft because it's very closely related to the first movie, which I tried to get Solomon to watch and he wouldn't do it. Maybe we should watch that tonight.
Nope.
Maybe we will. But the first movie is very much more of a spy movie than it is a stunt movie. And since then, the movies have become increasingly more action focused.
Yeah.
You know? So there's always twists and turns and little spy stuff here and there, but they almost, like, they went a while where they were, like, really not doing anything with the face mask thing.
And I love those things. They're so cool.
That was, like, the main thing in the first movie. It was, like, so crazy.
Really? So they had those since the beginning?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. Well, then they introduced, like, it's kind of like when they introduced Iron Man's mobile Iron Man suit, like, before he had to get dressed at his house.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to have him keep going home. So then they made it be able to carry around in a suitcase. And they finally just made it to where he could just push a button and it, like, come out of his chest or whatever.
Yeah. Or fly to him.
Yeah. That's what they did for the Mission Impossible movies. It used to have to get made in these, like...
Huge labs.
Huge labs.
There's something in my throat, bro.
Get it out.
I'm just going to talk like this.
Nope, don't do that.
What's going on, bro?
Ew, gosh. Anyway, this movie ties directly into the plot of the first movie, kind of. It's not really a plot, but there's a character from the first movie who comes back.
Do you know his name?
Well, I don't want to spoil it. We don't do spoilers on this podcast. No spoils. His name is Gabriel.
Uh-huh. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so Gabriel is the guy who killed his girlfriend in the first Mission Impossible movie, which, by the way, I thought was, like, one of the most violent scenes I'd ever seen in my entire life.
How many girls has Ethan Hunt dated within these movies?
Like a new lady in the movie? And they all die. Because his wife gets killed in Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
By Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah. You don't want to date Ethan Hunt, man. It is bad news bears over there at the Hunt residence. So this movie starts off. I do. This is the only plot beat I'm going to get into. Actually, no, we have to do the plot synopsis. This is going to be so fun. I'm really excited about you doing a plot synopsis for this. And it has to be really fast, too, because we had a lot to talk about.
Oh, my God. I don't want to do a plot synopsis.
Come on. Everyone tunes in for the plot synopsis.
No, okay.
We really should have done it at the onset because, well, actually, no, this is better. You just teased it.
Okay. So there is a super genius AI that is connected to the whole entire world. And it has the power to recreate history, recreate events, recreate anything, basically. Like change everyone's perception of how the world has gone, thus giving whoever owns this AI extreme amounts of power. And Ethan Hunt wants to destroy it because it has too much power. No man should have that much power.
Okay, you described the bad guy pretty well, except for you didn't made it very confusing on what the AI can do.
I didn't.
Yeah, you said he can like rewrite history and rewrite events.
Yeah, it can. It can rewrite the world. It can change how everyone perceives things. It basically has control over everything.
Essentially, what they're implying that it can do is it can go to the CIA intelligence and rewrite all of their databases and their satellite imagery, anything that's coming in, even falsify voices. So they could it can make it to where the CIA is intercepting messages from Russia saying that Russia is about to attack us, and then it could send messages to Russia saying that the United States is about to attack them, put it on their satellite screens, put it everywhere. You know what I mean? It can manipulate anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's an ultra powerful AI. So, plot synopsis done, and let's
dive right in.
In the case of this movie, that's where we start. The submarine diving deep into the ocean.
Wow.
Really?
So cool.
Genuinely cool, great, I thought, opening sequence. It's tense. It has that little sci-fi element to it. They really give you a cool idea of like what this AI is capable of doing without you knowing if it's even an AI. And Ethan is once again on the outs with the agency and the United States government because the government wants to capture the AI and control it and use it so they're the biggest superpower in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas Ethan knows it's too powerful for any one government to have. So he goes rogue yet again.
Yeah.
Isn't one of these movies called Rogue Nation?
Rogue Nation?
Rogue something.
I hope it's not called Rogue Nation.
I think there is one called that. Rogue something. It's not Rogue Squadron.
I hope it's not Rogue Nation. I'll lose my mind.
Anyway, so Ethan gets his team together, and they kind of are doing like this Fast and the Furious thing where it's like they're all family, except for they don't call them family. They actually just say friends, which is more appropriate.
Yes.
But it's all about the friends, all about your friend Malie. And so they send him on a mission to – they have to unite with these two parts of this key that can open. But here's the thing. They don't know what it opens.
Yeah.
And they don't find out what it opens till the end of the movie. We know from the very beginning because the very first thing we see is what it opens. So it makes it a kind of cool MacGuffin because while it is just an object that they need to get, it's more of a MacGuffin for them than it is for us because we know what it does. They have to get these two parts of this key together and so they don't know what it unlocks, but somehow it'll help them stop the AI.
Yeah.
And what it is like the AI source code or something.
Yeah, it's the AI source code in the submarine.
Yeah, so it's like sunk to the bottom of the ocean now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they have to get. And the main bad guy or whatever from Mission Impossible 1, I don't know if I haven't seen the movie in so long, maybe he's not the main bad guy, but the guy who kills his girlfriend, he basically is like the John the Baptist to this AI's Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like he's like his herald and he works for him and he gives him all of his power and he sleeps in this weird chest where it like looks like he like Matrix like absorbs all the AI's information.
I don't remember that at all. The weird chest.
That woman comes and lets him out of
that. Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. Oh, what is her name, that actress? She was a great character. Do you remember the character's name? I'm saying she's a great character. And I can't remember it, so it's really embarrassing. But she's like his right-hand person, and she's like this almost feral assassin who almost never is her name something like Silence or
no. Paris.
Oh, Paris. That's nothing like Silence.
No.
They both have an S in them.
Oh, and no. And an I.
So embarrassing. I didn't put my phone on silent.
If you put it in reverse, it has the first two letters.
Excellent. But yeah, she's like the henchman to Gabriel's character. And yeah, she's just like feral. She's like laughing and, you know, growling whenever she's fighting. There's a part that's very similar to Famke Janssen's character in James Bond Goldeneye, who's like a very sexual assassin, and she kills you by like wrapping her thighs around your like thorax or neck, not your thorax, your chest or neck,
mm-hmm.
and then like choking you to death with her thighs while making sassy noises.
That's gross.
It people liked it back then.
I also didn't.
Not me.
I also didn't like what you did. You said you went with your thighs and then pulled your thighs.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I just touched them.
You went with your thighs.
But there was a part that was reminded me of that, where that girl's like panting and whatever, and seeming like she's getting a lot of enjoyment of basically choking Ethan out with mm-hmm. her legs.
Yes.
Remember that? Remember
yes,
that
I
part?
Do.
Yeah. And I don't remember where I was going with that. I got sidetracked by that lady. Oh, yeah.
Good memories.
So they send him on a mission to find Rebecca Ferguson's character, who's been his love interest for the last couple of movies, right?
I think so.
Two movies. And also an amazing assassin in her own right. I can still remember the shot from the last movie where she, like, can't remember the last one or whatever one before that. I'm getting these movies all mixed up. It's embarrassing. But yeah, where she like pulls up on her motorcycle and like does like a slide thing and pulls out her sniper rifle. It was like in the trailer.
That's awesome.
On the bridge. You don't remember that?
No. That sounds really cool.
Yes, it was. But yeah, so Ethan finds out they put a bounty on her. He goes to try and get to her before all the bounty people can do it. That's one of the first big giant set pieces, which is amazing. It's a sniper fight in a sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
On horseback,
yes,
and then hand to hand. We only have
it
a couple.
Very cool.
How many minutes do we actually have? It's hard for me to tally how long we took in between. We probably have about four. So, yeah, the movies, as you would imagine, it's Mission Impossible movies. So it's a globe trotting movie full of stunts and espionage.
Yes.
With a really cool villain that I think works perfectly for right now in our AI crazed time that we live in.
Yes.
AI phobic time, I think. I think we live in an AI phobic time.
I don't think so.
People are very AI phobic right now.
Yes, but there's also people who are very not, who are AI the opposite of phobic.
Not many, though.
Me.
Well, and me.
I love AI.
Me too.
And most people, a lot of people love AI.
No, we shouldn't even say that. They'll be like, well, one day your podcast is going to get made by AI, and then how will you like it?
They are going to say that, aren't they?
They will. I think all these people that are afraid they're going to get replaced by AI just don't have very interesting personalities.
Yeah, I think that's like they have nothing to do. All they do is like work in a factory. Well, that's unfortunate.
Oh, don't be rude. All they do is work at a factory. There's factories all around here, and we love our factory listeners.
I know we do.
I'm going to put you to work at a factory.
Well, I'm talking.
And you'll love it because it's good.
I bet our factory listeners are way cooler than the people who are the factory workers who are complaining about AI.
I don't think factory workers
yeah.
are worried about AI. I think it's like creatives.
Even I feel like they're not very good at being creative then.
I kind of agree. Sort of agree with you.
Good. All right, let's go.
Let's
run it. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
So I love the villain in this because they give him a face by making him the guy from the first movie, but they make it to where he's like so smart that he can like almost predict your every single move. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He puts out all the probabilities, all the little factors, and he's almost always right.
Yes.
He can predict what will happen in a setting of like five people because he knows every single thing about every single one of the people by analyzing them.
Yeah.
So he's a great, great villain who seems almost unbeatable, which is a perfect final foil for Ethan Hunt.
Yeah. It's impossible.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So we've already talked about the characters. Obviously Luther and Benji are fantastic. They introduce an agent who's also, by the way, in Peggy Carter. I wonder if Haley Atwell helped him get that job. I wonder if she did. You know the agent who's like hunting him the whole time?
Oh, like the FBI or the CIA guy?
He's not a CIA guy, but yes.
Well, who is he?
He works for the Impossible Whatever Bureau.
Bureau.
The Bureau.
Yes, I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah. That guy was the main guy in Agent Peggy Carter, and he ends up blowing himself up to save Peggy.
Aww.
Made me really sad. But yeah, the cast is fantastic, but what we really need to talk about is the stunts. Do you want to do a quick stunt ranking? What are you doing?
Looking at that guy. Is his name Chia Wiggum?
Yes, it was a really weird name.
Okay, he plays Briggs.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, a stunt ranking?
Yeah, we have 40 seconds.
You said we had 4 minutes earlier.
But now we're down to 40 seconds.
You're wrong.
Close.
A stunt ranking.
Yeah.
What would that, like, how many stunts were there in this movie?
So
they had a lot of car driving. They drove a car for like an hour in that movie.
Yeah. I would say I'm going to definitely put the number one will be the train scene that they stole straight out of Uncharted, but it was amazing. Where they're trying to escape the train while it's like falling down into the thing.
That one, to me, it was too much. It was like so over the top for me that after every train car, it would pull down some more. So he kept having to climb up the train cars, and he did it like 5 times.
How's that dumb?
It lasted for so. I didn't say it was dumb. It was just so over the top.
It was too much. How's it over the top?
Because it lasted for so long. And I was so stressed out for so long.
I thought it was great.
And I knew they were going to live the whole time. But
I
it was
put
just
that at number one. Where do you put it?
Number three.
Three? We don't even know how many there's going to be. I don't even remember how many there are.
What about the
thing from the trailer where he jumps off the cliff on his motorcycle?
Yeah, that one's probably number one.
Number one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put that at number three.
And then number two. What?
I said stunt scenes. These aren't even all stunts. They're just action scenes.
And then number two would be like whenever he like flies away.
When he flies away?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
When he flies away. What do you mean?
When does he fly away?
He flies away after the train scene. Like that.
Wasn't that cool?
I thought it was cool.
It wasn't that cool at all.
I liked it when he flew.
He didn't do anything. He just jumped off the train and then he lit a parachute.
No, it wasn't
a parachute.
It wasn't a parachute. It was an A-wing or something.
Either way, I didn't think that was that cool.
P-wing.
I really liked, also, I think number two would be the that chase scene where they're in the little Fiat.
That scene also lasted a long time.
Did you enjoy anything in this movie? Or do you think everything lasted too long?
No, I enjoyed a lot of things about that movie. But that, I mean, I loved the car scene while I was watching it and the train scene while I was watching it. But I just remember how long they were. And how stressed I was for like an hour.
I thought that car scene was so funny because it kept getting more and more. It kept going on and on until it was like almost like a cartoon. It was like funny.
Yeah.
Especially once they got into that silly little car.
I like that Fiat a lot.
While that lady was chasing them in that giant hulking bus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sure I'm missing some other scenes. I like the scene at the beginning. The submarine part was probably one of my favorites.
Can I put that stunt?
A stunt at all.
I'm going to put that at number two.
What?
Actually, I'm going to put that as number one. Put the motorcycle scene at number two.
What was number one?
Submarine.
That's not a stunt.
It felt stunty.
Anyway, that's our time. I love this movie. I can't wait to see the second part of it. I have a horrible feeling they're going to kill Ethan Hunt because I just can't imagine that Tom Cruise is going to retire the character unless they make him. Then maybe they'll kill Tom Cruise.
What?
He could. He hurts himself in all these movies. He could say he wants to die on camera.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
They wouldn't be allowed to release the movie. I think it's illegal. It's called a snuff film.
Really?
Yeah.
But he wants to die.
I feel like I've just been slouching further and further.
So do I.
Like I'm melting. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
Goodbye. Love y'all. We'll be right back.
This has been a Rogue Media Network podcast.